The following message is brought to you by City Place Church and Pastors Damon and Taisha Moore in Orlando, Florida. We hope this message inspires you to build new dreams, ignite your faith, and be established as the leader God is calling you to be. For more information, visit us online at cityplacechurch.com.
My name is Damon. This is my beautiful wife, Taisha. She's my forever girlfriend. I slowed down. She was chasing me for a long time. And I said, girl, you know what? I said, I'm tired. I'm going to stop. Let me hear what you got to say. And what she had to say made sense. And so I know it's reverse order, but I wanted to give it a try. And so we pastor together. We pastor together. And so whenever she speaks, we're speaking together. And this is our birthday weekend. And if it's okay with you, what God has given us is actually going to spill over next week as well. But we're going to teach this morning, give some vision and context to who we are. And I promise you, it's still going to be fire for you. So you still need to buckle up your seatbelts and get ready, because together we're better. I can rally you. It's on your card. That was awesome. Let's pray. Let's pray, and then we're going to jump in, babe. You can take over. Father, we love you. We thank you for your word. Thank you that we're 3 years old. Thank you that we get to celebrate. The end of a thing is better than its beginning. We thank you that we've turned three. Now, Lord God, we thank you that you are doing something new, and we recognize it. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Go ahead, now, girl. Mute the mic, please. No, I'm just playing. I'm just playing. Good morning, everybody. You know, we've been talking about running with the giants, and I don't know about you. First of all, let me just say, I'm like 5'1". I'm not sitting on this stool. They tried to put me on this. No, no, no. They tried to put me on this big old thing over here, and I was like, my feet can't touch the floor. I feel like a kindergartner. It's just not working. So, yeah, it's just not working. But how many of you guys believe Pastor is going to give this time today sitting down? Show of hands? No. Mm-mm. Nope. So we're ready this morning.
I can stay seated.
No, you can't.
I did it on purpose.
We know you can't. It's just not possible. So it's okay. But this morning, we understand that when you've come because you need to hear from Jesus. Amen. Maybe I'm in the wrong place. Maybe you haven't been living or nothing's been happening to you. But I tell you that we are people just the same. Yes, we might be called to lead City Place Church, but we are certainly living just the same. And we've been doing this series called Running with the Giants. And I don't know about you, but it's been speaking to me, because the people in the Word are specifically designed for tools and things that they've been through that we don't have to. How many of you guys have kids? How many of you guys want your kids to not experience the kinds of things you have done or not make the boneheaded decisions you have made? This is the same thing that we find ourselves in this passage of Scripture where we have been reading. And if you've not been with us, we will catch you up in 2 seconds. There's awesome people in the Bible that have a word for us. Amen. Okay, that's it. That's your summary. So today we have this hall of people who the Bible says are like cheering us on, like, go, baby, go, baby, go. Okay, so it's our opportunity then to lean in and say what's happening. Now, we find ourselves, however, on our birthday. And I felt like preaching in a birthday hat, but I was like, that's probably like could go any kind of place, so maybe not. And people wouldn't understand what that is. But it is important that we talk about how we got here, and I'm talking specifically about City Place Church. So today, with your permission, we are going to parallel our current series, Running with the Giants. We're going to pull out everything that the giants have for us, but we're going to parallel it with how we got here. It's our church, right? It's not just our church, right? You say City Place is my church. It's my house. And so what we believe here, the core values that Pastor has been talking about this morning, and also the mission statement. So for all of y'all that have been through Next Steps, are you ready for your corporate quiz? No, you're not. And there is no amens, there is no silence, there is no help up in this place. But that's all right, because we're going to parallel for you together with no quiz. Sound good? All right, if you're ready, open up your Bible with me in Acts Chapter 9. I'm just going to set this context. I'm going to do nothing more than set the context, and then we will jump in. Our hero this morning that is speaking to us is Paul. Now, some of you know, like, yeah, I got it, Paul, man in the Bible, awesome. Paul, we know the story of him in a jail cell, and he's singing, and he miraculously is freed. We know Paul because the Bible says that he was preaching and teaching, and he received lashes and suffered much for Christ. Many of us know the story of Paul on a shipwreck, or Paul as he dealt with the snake and crazy things. Paul was bad. Paul was bad. But the interesting place we find Paul is when he was Saul, because the Bible says that Saul, who later changed his name to Paul, was an emphatic Pharisee, that he was growing up in the staunch traditions of the way, meaning that he had everything in his mind right with Jesus, but he had no relationship. Oh, we don't know nothing about Paul, right? You know everything of what God spoke to you, but it hasn't marinated down to your heart and your spirit. That we know what we're supposed to say and do as believers, but it hasn't quite come out yet. This is the Paul we find, and we will find him as he's in the middle of a transformation, because as we're running with the giants, let's just be honest, we want God this morning to change and do and be whatever he wants to be. And so if we find Paul in a transformation, then perhaps our prayer is, God, you can transform me too. So we find Paul in Acts chapter 9. We'll just begin in verse 1 and give you a teeny weeny bit of context. So it says this, meanwhile, Saul, because remember, that's who he is at first, was still breathing out murderous threats against the Lord's disciples. He went to the high priest and he asked him for letters to the synagogues in Damascus so that if he found any there who belonged to the way, those are Christians, whether men or women, he might take them as prisoners to Jerusalem. Somebody say, he meant business. As he neared Damascus on his journey, suddenly a light from heaven flashed around him. He fell to the ground and heard a voice say to him, Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? Who are you, Lord? Saul asked. I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting, he replied. Now get up and go into the city, and you will be told what you must do. We're going to pause right there as we investigate a piece of our core mission at City Place Church, our core mission. At City Place Church, we are a life-giving church, and we believe that we are called to do what?
Build dreams.
Build dreams.
Ignite faith.
Ignite faith.
Establish
leaders that win the lost for the kingdom of Christ. This morning, we find Saul on the road to Damascus. Can you imagine this moment that Saul is arrogant? It's probably he is that about a teenager at this moment. He is, I got it. I've got the teaching I need. In fact, I'm going to go so far to go get the authority to take anybody who's a believer and take care of them. This is where we find our friend Saul. In the moment of arrogance, in the moment that he's away from God, in the moment that he doesn't deserve God, he is actually persecuting Christians, yet we find Saul having an encounter with Jesus. How many of you are glad that when you didn't deserve it, God saw fit to reach down and say, I'm ready for an encounter with you?
Well, are you going to hand it off to me right there, huh? Okay. So Paul is killing Christians. He's living one type of life. He's actually fighting because he feels like the Messiah hasn't come yet. And on the road of Damascus, when you're reading in Acts chapter 9, the Bible says the heavens opens up and God speaks to him. And he says this, he says, hey, I just want you to know that your target has been wrong. You've been thinking that it's about you, but it's never been about you. It's always been about me. You were trying to hurt those who were thinking about me and declaring my name, and you thought that you were doing it for me, but it's never been about you. In your perspective, it's always been about me. In this one moment, there's a shift. And if Paul could say anything, because the context of our series is Hebrews, I'm already out of my seat. Snap. I'm out of my seat. Hebrews 12:1 says, since we are surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses, therefore set aside things that could slow you down. Saul has his moment where the heavens opens up and God says to him, it's time to change who you are. If Paul could say something to us this morning, and give us a little nugget of wisdom, there's sermon notes on your seat, actually. He would say this: it's never been about me. It's never been about me. When we talk about being a life-giving church that builds dreams, here's one of the things that we realized when we were doing a study and preparing for the parallel. We realized that a dream can activate the voice of God. A dream can activate the voice of God, but if we don't put it in the right context, a dream can become an idea that we want to achieve. The Bible says in the book of Genesis that Joseph dreamed a dream. It was actually a prophetic utterance of what God wanted to do in his life. If we're not careful and we're saying we're going to build dreams, do you know what that could mean in the context of our church? That the house that you want, that's what we're speaking life to. But in the parallel of when Paul has his encounter and his life is changed forever, what he was really being shown was that today I want to change your focus and tell you that it's never been about you. So the thing that you and I will begin to dream about when we talk about building dreams, foundationally set, the dreams that we're speaking life to is to activate God's voice in your life. So when we say we want to be a life-giving church that builds your dreams, we want you to be able to hear God's voice clearly. How many of y'all would say there are periods in your life, or maybe you walked in here today where you feel like sometimes it's cloudy. You can't hear what he's saying. When we're talking about being a life-giving church that builds your dreams, we have to start with activating God's voice in your life. In this story, Acts chapter 9, what God did was he said, I'm going to activate my voice in your life because the journey you've been taking is all about you. You had one idea of me. You've been walking it out in your plan. But until you have a God encounter with me, it's all about you. You thought your intentions were right. But until my voice is activated, you're just doing your own thing. So when we talk about being a life-giving church, it's our responsibility. The dream team is setting an atmosphere so that when you come in here, you can hear God's voice clearly. The result of hearing God's voice clearly is knowing what I'm going to chase. Are you with me? Can I give you a warning, though? It's on your sheet of paper. Here's the warning. Dreams are for God's purposes, his church, his people, and his glory. Dreams are for God's purposes, his church, his people, his glory. Watch this. Jesus says, hey, if you need to know who it is, it's Jesus. Everything that you've been doing has been hurting me. That's where he says, it hasn't been about you. It's been about me the whole time. I want to change your perspective. As we walk through the rest of the text, he begins to shift Paul's focus and tells him, now, just so you know, the thing that is in you will have these elements. It will be God's purpose. It will impact his church. It will impact his people, and it will be for his glory. Can I just show you what this statement is? It has nothing to do with me. It has all to do with him. So when we talk about building dreams and igniting faith, some of you have come to me and said, Pastor Damon, I haven't dreamed in years. I'm glad. Because if God begins to speak to you, you'll dream his dreams. Maybe we've been dreaming dreams, but they haven't been God dreams. See, God dreams are going to fulfill his purpose, impact his church, impact his people, and it'll be for his glory. Are you with me? So you're in the right place at the right time. It's a change of perspective. Paul said, I was running one way. I was doing my own thing. I was doing it successfully because he was known. And my God encounter said, it's not about you. It's always been about me.
Immediately after Paul is on the road to Damascus, the Bible says that the men traveling with Saul stood there speechless. And then they heard the sound but did not see anyone. And Paul got up from the ground, but when he opened his eyes, he could see nothing. So they led him by the hand into Damascus. For 3 days he was blind and did not eat or drink anything. And in Damascus, there was a disciple named Ananias. The Lord called to him in a vision. Ananias, yes, Lord, he answered. The Lord told him, go to the house of Judas on Straight Street and ask for a man from Tarsus named Saul, for he is praying. In a vision, he has seen a man named Ananias come and place his hands on him to restore his sight. Sometimes some of us have the dreams that we begin with. God breathes something and we feel like it's for his eternal purpose. But then we say, God, why have you left me in this place with no other direction? The Bible says that Paul was blinded for 3 days. And I believe that there was a holy purpose for that. Not only to get Paul's undivided attention, but to get him completely out of himself and completely into God's purpose. Not the Paul that would say, yeah, let me put my mind back on now that I have my vision. I know how to get out of this. I know what to do. I've heard the voice of the Lord. Let me study a little bit. Let me go slip back into my old habits. That's not what happens. What happens is he's blinded. Have you ever felt like you were excited about something? You're on the road to doing something right. You're making some right decisions, and then all of a sudden the bottom falls out? God, really? Are you serious right now? We could take Paul and we understand that you have to get the us, we have to get me out of the equation so that God can birth his dream. But there's two dreamers in this story. There's two acts of faith in this story, and we can easily overlook it. We've got Saul now turning into Paul. We've got Saul who's wrestling. He's a babe. He's just beginning to understand. And maybe you find yourself here this morning. I'm just coming back into relationship. I know I need God, but I just feel so new. I'm just new. And then in the same story, we have Ananias. Oh, Ananias. Ananias is the believer. He is in this city, and God speaks to him. Now, I want you to see the story. Don't brush over my brother Ananias here, because Ananias is integral. Ananias loves the Lord. He hears the Lord. The Bible says that he has heard what he is supposed to do. He has found himself grounded. He's in God's face. He's hearing the voice of the Lord. Yay, Ananias. We all need Ananiases. They help us get grounded. They show us maturity. But Ananias was integral in this act of faith because Ananias said, he hears the voice of the Lord. He goes, no, God, you know what that man is about. I don't want no part of that. But Ananias himself had to get in line with the ultimate bigger plan, come what may. And so there is a collision course of faith, our babe in Christ, Saul, and our grounded, rooted Ananias. And that tells me no matter who we are, no matter where we are, that there is an act of faith on both sides. I believe that if Paul were going to tell us anything, he would say, I needed Ananias. I needed somebody to come and exercise the faith. I thank God for the people that when I was in my mess would reach out to me and help me see. Our second blank deals with this type of transformation, this type of freedom, and it is this, and this is what Paul speaks to us this morning. Free people, free people. Free people, free people. And Paul would say, I'm a witness to that because when I didn't deserve it, and Ananias had no idea whether I would slay him or not, I needed a free person to free me. I needed a free person to free me. And God uses this beautiful act of relationship to show us, just in case you missed it, that Paul, my friends, this morning I submit to you, you can't free yourself. God uses relationships. He tells us, I want you to be very clear this morning. Your life as you serve me and love me will not be void of problems. You will get blinded sometimes. You will be on the wrong path sometimes. You will make the wrong decisions. You will not carry my heart. But you need free people to free people. And you think that you can do it all on your own. And that is not my plan. Free people. Free people.
Wow. So take note of this on your notes. Paul couldn't free himself, and neither can we. Hey, you know what? Once I get myself together, then I will. Free people. Free people. I love the connection, Ty, between the faith of the seasoned Christian and the faith of the young Christian. We're better together. We're better together. But I love the fact, too, that Ananias told himself that it's never been about me. God was building Ananias's dream while he was building Paul's dream. If Ananias gets in the way, Paul isn't impacted at the rate that he is. Free people, free people. I love this because if you go through the rest of Acts, it says that Paul starts preaching right away. Which, honestly, as a pastor, so many times we will put limits. We will put limits on all of us that will accept Jesus right away. Paul goes to Ananias' house. He spends time growing in God's word. And the Bible says they let him go tell about the goodness of Jesus. Can I tell you that even as you're growing in your relationship with Jesus, you have something to tell. There's no need to wait until your story is perfect. You may not stand up here where I am. You don't have to, because you are called to places I can't go. If Jesus changes your life today, tomorrow when you go into your workplace, say, something happened to me at this church. My life is forever changed. I was just told that my purpose in God can impact so many. When you heard all of your life that you were worth nothing. Even in your babiness, tell it. Even in your babiness, tell it, because it will begin to mature you. Now, a baby can't eat steak, but a baby will eat that baby food. Write this down. If Paul was talking, he would say vision leaks. Now, this one is a weird one, because we've got building dreams, igniting faith, establishing leaders is our vision. We talked about building dreams. It's not about us. It's all about God's purpose, his people, his church, his glory. We talked about igniting faith. We said that free people, free people. But when we get to this leader thing, our thought that Paul would say is vision leaks. Here's the thing. If Paul doesn't hang out with the people he hangs out with, there is a chance that he could lose sight of what God said. He needed to surround himself with people who would echo what God was saying. Y'all with me? Let me repeat that again. If Paul doesn't hang out with the people he's hanging out with, the thing that God told him, risk being leaked out of his life if he doesn't hear the echo of the people who are around him. Here's an example. I preach you faith today. You go into an environment that doesn't. You feel like maybe what I heard on Sunday wasn't true. You get involved in a small group, and all of a sudden they're like, God's for you. God's for you. God's for you. And you say, God's for me. It's two different environments. If you live in something that's negative, you're going to be negative. The Bible says that he who walks with the wise will be wise. He who hangs out with stupid people, that's what the Bible says. You know the rest. Vision leaks. Here, let me give you an example. Watch. This is what the Bible says. In Acts chapter 19, 25, and then verse 30. 9, 19, 25. It says this. And after taking some food, Paul regained his strength, and he spent days with the disciples in Damascus. He hung out in a crowd with people who would echo what God had told him. Okay? Verse 25. But his followers took him by night and lowered him in a basket through an opening of the wall. Watch this. in this verse, Paul was being threatened because he had started telling people about Jesus. But it says that people that he hung out with protected the God dream. Protected his level of faith so that when the enemy attacked, he didn't go, well, maybe that's not my God dream. The people who he hung out with said, we've got to make sure that what God showed. I don't know why I'm tapping your back. You work out. Look, but here, look. Remember that? That's courtesy laugh. Look, watch. They said, we are not going to allow what God did for you in your God encounter when he told you that it wasn't about you, but it was about him. They said, we are not going to allow that to leak out at all. So he's got the hanging out. He's got the devotionals. He's got the Bible study. He's out there preaching. He's got the threats of the enemy. And his friends step in and say, we will not allow the enemy to take you out. All of us need friends that will not allow the God dream. Watch now, the activation of his voice, not the house. I know we want that, but the activation of his voice. I'm hearing him clearer than I ever heard him before. I can know his tone. I know when he's talking to me. I need people who will protect that. I don't need someone to just encourage me about my house. I need to make sure that when God's speaking, that I know that I heard what I thought I heard. Are you with me? If we're not careful, the thing that God told us will leak out and we'll just be walking. I hate it when I go in the house and I get out and I get in my car and I see the symbol that says you need air in your tire and I go out and the tire's flat. I wasn't paying attention to the tire. But if I paid attention to my car and the maintenance of my car, I'd go and I'd care for the tire along the way versus being out at Disney. It's 900 degrees, and you walk out, and then you got to call AAA. That has never happened to me, by the way. But you know how it is when you're excited and you get that one little thing that causes your energy to leak. Paul said, vision leaks. Vision leaks, and you got to be careful. You got to have the people in your life who speaks life to you. So here's something to take note from Paul. God-honoring plans have longevity. They involve others, and they grow by God alone.
Can you hear Paul speaking to you, Lone Rangers? Hey, sister girl, you think you don't need anybody. You don't need that girl's group. They don't do nothing but try to paint their nails. That's what you think. The design, what you think or what we actually think is not important because God-honoring plans have longevity. They last beyond us. They involve other people. That's part of the package deal. It just happens like that. And by God's Spirit alone. So here's my question for you. Because you might be thinking, yeah, but that part of the mission that says establish leaders, it's leaders is the other people. Paul preached, and his followers saved him in a basket, which means that he created followers. He sandwiched himself between being discipled and being a discipler. You and I can spend a lot of time and come here faithfully on Sunday mornings. And as the one being discipled and going to small groups and listening to the podcast and having God fill me up, Jesus. And we never turn our backs to the second part of the equation, and that's to be a discipler. It is the intention of God that we sandwich between both sides and not fully try to just tell people what to do. I'm going to hold up my sign because you don't love Jesus. And I'm also just going to bask in the glory and keep it all to myself. We are called to be ones that establish leaders. So my final question for you here is, are you a part of a God dream that is bigger than you? It's very simple. Finally, we come up to this point in our story where we say, Paul has taught us to build dreams. He has taught us to ignite our faith. He has taught us to establish leaders. These are all of the things that Paul has said, but there's a very important caveat that we need not ever forget, and that is to win the lost for the kingdom of Christ. We don't just build dreams to build dreams. We don't just ignite our faith to ignite faith. We don't just establish leaders. We do it to win the lost. Let me ask you this, because sometimes we get in that place where we get a little amnesia. We get a little forgetful of what God has brought us from. But I remember what it was like to be a teenage girl completely lost, all interested in the opinions and the matters of other people, a bully and hard-hearted, a single parent's daughter who was fighting her way through life. I remember those moments when a stranger invited me to church. I was happy. I was full of attitude. I didn't need Jesus. I didn't want Jesus. But in that moment, somebody asked me a question and invited me into their world. I cannot tell you the moments where I'm sitting in worship or, you know, sometimes you might say, man, those people are passionate. Let me tell you why I am passionate. Because I remember. I remember what it was like to be that girl that was tough and completely broken. I remember the pages in my journal that I wrote about not having the father that I so desperately wanted. I will tell you why I am passionate, because I remember. I remember. And every day we come encountered with people who are at different points of their faith journey, and we want to be politically correct. We don't want to be obtrusive. We want to let you do your thing and me do my thing. But what does that serve us? Because if I don't share with somebody, then I can't help somebody, because free people. That's good. We win the lost for the kingdom of Christ. But lost people in general that we walk by at Publix, that we say hey to, that are your neighbor on your left and your right, these are the wins. In fact, Paul would say it like this: I have given my life, and I'm prepared to give my life 1,000 times over for those that will come into the knowledge of Christ. And for you and I, we hear Paul this morning. We hear him this morning, and he says this: lost people must be your victory proposition. See, Paul would tell us that as you grow in your dreams, your faith is ignited, so others' faith are ignited. As you do that, then you start to establish leaders, and those leaders go out and spread the message, but it only works if you still remember. It only works if you still remember. See, I believe that this moment on the road to Damascus was so etched in Paul's mind that it was such a core of what he lived and how he experienced, because the Bible talks about such a drastic transformation. It doesn't say that he slowly became a different person. It said that in 3 days he was starting to preach and be under the disciples' leadership. Come on. Things that happen like that, that are so night and day, they live with you. Has anyone here ever seen a flash of lightning and been riding on a horse and been knocked off and visibly and audibly heard the voice of the Lord? I have not. The last time I was on a pony, it didn't happen. But it did for Paul. And it was a moment where he was such a different man one day and became such a different man the other day that he says, this is my victory, and I will give whatever it takes. There's a Harvard professor. Her name is Amy something. And she has a wonderful TED Talk, and she talks about standing in the position of victory to get your shoulders back, make these poses before you go into an audition or an interview, and you should do things like this and this. You should, you know, seriously, she says you hold it for 20 seconds, and statistics have shown that then that encourages you and that's your victory roll. And I say to us this morning, this is actually a little twisted. We have a brand new victory position, and it involves how many people we take with us. that our measurement is like, it's like a tower where the base is the dream of God's activation. But if we don't add on to that our faith and add on to that leadership and add on to it the people that go with us, that is the victory proposition.
And the Bible says in Acts chapter 9, verse 31, that as Paul preached the gospel, that the church was strengthened and it multiplied. And so we build dreams, we ignite faith, we establish leaders, we win the lost for the kingdom of God. If we get a church that can hear God's voice, your dreams will be limitless. If we can be a group of people who will echo what God's saying, we will be limitless. If you and I will set aside any fears that we might have about pouring into someone else, we will be limitless. At the end of the day, it's all about heaven. It's all about Jesus. It's all about getting as many people in our world to heaven. That's the reason why we exist.
Thanks for joining us today. If you are in the Central Florida area, we'd love to meet you. Join us on Sundays in Southeast Orlando at City Place Church. Information on service times and directions can be found online at cityplacechurch.com.